I'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 and 3 John verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 and then 3 John and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 and I'll be in 3 John and verse 2. Those will be the text for the final episode. They've been our text all the way. But thou shalt remember, because you may forget. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. And I'm saying this to all of our nursing graduates, RN, who are moving on to BSN and MSN, and some of them crossing over to MBBS and whatever you want to do, because you can be all that you want to be in Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen to that? So I send you this with this parting note, that thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. And I'm saying to everybody under the sound of my voice that thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. The Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. 3 John and verse 2. 3 John and verse 2. Beloved, I wish, one translation says, I pray, above all things. Think about anything above it. This is my prayer for you. What is the prayer? That thou mayest prosper. Can I have an amen to that? And be in health. Another amen to that. Because what use is prosperity if you're not in health? Even as your soul prospereth. There is no questioning about whether it is the will of God for us to do well in life or not. By now, if you have listened to me in the last 4 or 5 weeks, you should have gone past that level of asking yourself whether God really wants me to prosper, whether God really wants me to do well. It doesn't matter what people are saying on social media, and now they are criticizing the church, that we're talking about prosperity, we're talking about, advancing in life. All of that is their own cup of coffee. When God created you, he created you alone to fulfill his purpose. He didn't create you alongside social media for your life to be controlled by what others say about you. You don't even need anyone's validation to live out God's plan for your life. This is his plan. In Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the plan that I have for you. NIV, I know the plan that I have for you. He said, they are plans of good and not of evil. To prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and hope. God is interested in your doing well. Somebody preach to yourself this morning. Say, God is interested. Okay, so 2 people came to church this morning. In my doing well. And this is in every area of your life. It's not just money. In your mental health, God wants you to do well. In your mental productivity, God wants you to do well. In your career, in your business, in your academics, in your profession, in whatever your hands find to do, God wants you to do well because you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:20. You're an ambassador of the kingdom of God. An ambassador is a representative or a representation of another country. You represent another kingdom. You are not just in the kingdom of Nigeria. This is where you live at this moment, or wherever you're watching from online. That's where you live at the moment. But internally and spiritually, you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. So when they see you, they should be able to see things that are traceable to the kingdom of God in your life. And in that kingdom, there is no lack. Can you imagine someday angels gather in heaven and they want to come to the earth to gather money because God is broke in heaven? Do you think that will ever happen? Come on, talk to me, church. If you're not sleeping, come on, talk to me. Do you think that will ever happen? That day will never come. There will never be a breaking of such a day. That God will be so broke, we need to gather funds here and send via Western Union to heaven. That day will never come, that God will be sick and all the angels will have to gather. And they come under King Jesus and they say, you know what, we got to pray for God the Father because God the Father is really not feeling well this morning. It will never happen. Can I have an amen to that? Whatever is therefore not in heaven is not permitted in your life. In Matthew 6:10, as Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, this must be part of your prayer, that thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? That's a question you must ask yourself. This depression I'm battling with, is there depression in heaven? Can it happen? Can it ever happen that there'll be anxiety disorder in heaven? Can it ever happen that there'll be lack in heaven? Can it ever happen? Do you know that the angels in heaven eat? Do you know they eat? Or you think they're just spirit beings and they have food? Read your Psalms. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Psalms has 150 chapters. That's your assignment. Read the Psalms. In one of the Psalms, the psalmist referred to the manner that God rained on the Israelites to feed them in their sojourn as angels' corn, angels' food. He calls it the corn of heaven. There is abundant supply in heaven. Abundance is one of the signatures or one of the logos of God. Wherever God is, there is an abundance. Jesus said this in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and have just a little life. All right, three people came to church this morning. To have life, how? Come on, talk to me. Have life, how? Have it more abundantly. Abundance. So I began to teach many weeks ago, and I'm not going to go back to all of the teachings because I want to wrap it up today. So if you were not here, the last 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, get all the messages for free in Jesus' name. I said one of the channels for kingdom prosperity, because you have to have channels. Apart from you possessing a heart that beats for God, which the Lord is still expanding in my spirit, you should be someone who tithes. Don't joke with your tithing. There is tithing in the New Testament. Stop listening to people that are turning your head upside down. Listen to the Bible. Listen, if you are confused about anything that you don't understand, you went to a church, they taught something, it was strange to what you had heard before, go back to the Bible and tell the Holy Spirit to show you. Can I have an amen to that? Be like the Berean Christians who went back after the apostles taught them to check if those things were so. And then take a stand with the word of God and let that be your stand forever. If you don't take a stand, a time will come. You'll be driven to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It is not new that we have a new movement of people who are saying this and saying that about what the Bible does not say and what the Bible says. It is not new. It's not today. It's always been, and it will always be till Jesus comes. You know, he said to them, leave the tares and the wheat. Let them grow together until the time of harvest. That's when we're going to make a distinction. So if there is anything that is not clear, go back to the word of God. You have enough leading here. This is your manual. This is your book of instructions. This is your book of life. Go back here. Can I have an amen? Number one, tithing. Don't joke with your tithe. Every time God blesses you, remove your 10%. Tithe is not a spiritual word. Tithe means 10%. Remove your 10% and honor God with it. Honor God with the 10%. It makes the rest holy. If the root is holy, then the lump will be holy. If the lump is holy, all the branches will be holy. Take it out and honor God with it. It is not for the pastor. The mistake people make and why they don't give to church is they assume that their giving is for the pastor. If it's for other pastors, not for this one. I work. I do my businesses. I make my money. I don't wait for church members to feed me. I don't. I never will in my life. Even when I stop doing active business, I'll be doing passive business. Businesses. Amen? Every man should have something that you present before God to bless. And when you give in church, you're not giving to the pastor, you're giving to God. And if you realize that you're giving to God, then you want to do it with joy. I already spent some extra time on that last week, so I don't want to dwell on that. Amen? Everything you have, you got it from God. Everything, including the hair on your head, you got it from God. The breath you're breathing now, you got it from God. So it shouldn't be anything major to say, I am giving back to God out of that which he has given to me. It's out of that which he has given to you that you're giving back to him. David the psalmist said, you open your hand and that which you give, we gather. We are only gatherers. We are not manufacturers. We are not the source. God is the source. God is the source. If God gives you an idea, you are not the original owner of the idea. You don't have copyright ownership to that idea. God has all the copyright ownership. Can I have an amen to that? So tithe. Don't be proud. Tithe. Not tithing is a sign of spiritual pride. Imagine me buying a pack of biscuits for my son. And, you know, daddy, I'm hungry. Okay, so I buy him a pack of biscuits from all the way from school. And then he opens it and he's enjoying it and he's enjoying it in the car. And he's enjoying the air conditioner in the car. And he's enjoying the music of the car. And he's enjoying the comfort of the car. And I stretch my hand and I say, son, I'm hungry. Can I have one? I said, no. If you want, go out. Can't you buy for yourself? Oh, really? I bought the whole pack for you. And I'm asking for just one piece. That's exactly what we are doing to God when we don't tithe. He's giving you everything. He said, give me 10%. I said, no. Why can I give you 10%? What do you mean by that? Oh, really? Do you know that your tithing is your receipt that you issue to God that you got the money he sent you? It's the acknowledgement of what he sent. When you pay for goods in a shop, what do they issue you? A receipt to say, we got your payment. We got your payment. When you tithe, you are telling God, money did not miss road. It got to me. So, sir, here is the receipt. It's not a big deal. The devil knows that if you keep tithing, God will keep blessing you, and he wants to block your blessing. That's why they have come up with all these teachings in the body of Christ today, all manner of teaching, that are baseless. They have no root. They have nothing but head knowledge. Nothing but head knowledge. Their heads have swollen so fat that they are now beginning to belch out nonsense. Somebody built a ministry on tithing, and all of a sudden you say, everything you've said on tithing, they should cancel it. You are a scammer. Because if you're not a scammer, then you should sell that ministry, sell the building, sell your private jet, empty your account, give the money back to all the people, then start from zero. From zero. Not that you've built everything, you now say, well, you know, everything I've said, forget about it, tear the books, destroy my tapes. I will never follow such a man. Because the new one you are teaching now, we will follow you for another 20 years. And all of a sudden, you wake up again and say, well, I got a new revelation now. Everything I said in the last 20 years, forget about it. What kind of person are you? Can I say this to you? Who you follow determines what follows you. The Bible does tell us to follow certain people. So again, we have another crop of Christians who are so proud they don't follow anybody. So I don't need anybody to teach me anything. I don't need to follow. The Bible says to follow. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 6 and I think verse 13 now, 12. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Glory to God. Are you with me, church, this morning? Hebrews 6, 12. So he says, that ye be not slothful. If you are slow, you'll be slothful. It says, ye be not slothful, but followers of them. The Bible says to follow some people. Who are the people to follow? Them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They have their faith on one hand. They have their patience on the other. Because faith works over time. It is not an overnight sensation. It works over time. So the Bible says, follow them. There are certain examples around you. Follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And guess what will happen? You will have their results as well. In Proverbs 13 verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with the wise, with wise men, shall be wise. Can I tell you something? I said this to people that are close to me. You may not be a wise person, but if you surround yourself with wise people, their wisdom will rub off on you. You will start thinking the way they think. You start analyzing things the way they analyze things. You want to, somehow, there's a transference of that wisdom. That's what the Bible says. You know, some people you think are very smart. They are not really very smart. They are just a reflection of their company. They are a reflection of the company they keep. Some people you think are very stupid. They are really not very stupid. They are wise in themselves. But they are a reflection. The stupidity you see in them is a reflection of the company they keep. Because the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools, even though may be wise, shall be destroyed. Why? Because of the company he keeps. Who you follow determines what follows you. In Hebrews also, 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. In Genesis 12, verse 2 and verses 2 and 3, God never called Lot. God called Abraham. And Lot went with him. Lot followed Abraham. Wherever you go, uncle, I will go. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. His father was late already. So Abraham took him along. By chapter 13, verse 5, God had already blessed Abraham. And in verse 5, Lot also was blessed, who went with Abraham. Who you follow determines what follows you. It's an eternal principle. It's an eternal principle. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus was walking on the street, going to the house of Jairus. A woman came, interrupted the journey. But Jesus wasn't going alone. He went with Peter, James, and John. The three of them. There were 12 of them, but he went with the three. And then we had another 70, and then later another 250. But these three were the core ministers that always went with him everywhere, everywhere. Mount of Transfiguration, everywhere. The house of Jairus, everywhere. Long story short, when they got to the house of Jairus, the tumulters were there, the professional weepers. Jesus, first of all, got rid of them. He said, get out. He said, the girl is not dead. She's sleeping. They started laughing. So he said, get out. And then he raised the girl back. Much later in the Acts of the Apostles, a woman by the name Tabitha or Dorcas had died. And this woman was a woman of good works. She had made, you know, several cardigans and tops and garments for the widows in town. So when she died, they would not allow her to go. They said, oh, this is a good woman. She can't go. They sent for Peter, who was a Joppa. And when Peter came, what he did was exactly what he had seen Jesus do before. He put all of them out, knelt down, and raised her back to life and said, Tabitha, arise. The same modus operandi of Jesus was what Peter deployed. He didn't look for a new method. Because he followed Jesus. Whatever followed Jesus followed him. Be careful. Be careful, young people. Be careful who you are listening to. Be extremely careful. Be extremely careful. Be extremely careful. You see, when you allow people to destroy your life, at the end of the day, they don't even care whether you exist or not. They will walk away. You have the responsibility to take care of your life and to guard your heart jealously. It is not every friend you should entertain in your inner circle. Not everybody that brings amebo to you, you should allow. Tell them I'm busy. You are busy. You don't have time. You don't have time for unproductive gists. The latest gist in town. The sister that just committed fornication. The brother that has just been suspended. That is the job of some people in the church. So when they slide into your DM, block them. Your destiny is too precious. You know why you need to block them? You have only one life to live. And can I tell you the sad thing about life? Once time is lost, it can never be recovered. Only God can restore time. That prerogative is only with God. He's the only one that can say, and I will restore to you the years. But ordinarily, the moment yesterday is gone forever. So don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Don't allow anybody to waste your time. Whoever wastes your time is a life waster. Are you with me, church? I know you came to hear about walking in financial dominion, but this is also important because time is one of the treasures you have. Can I ask you a question? How much is your minute worth? Your 1 minute, how much is it worth? On Google and search, how much does Tiger Woods make in 1 minute? How much does Elon Musk make in 1 minute? How much does Warren Buffett make in 1 minute? Then ask yourself, how much do I make in 1 minute? Is there any value attached to your minutes? You might not have been at that point yet where you are making so much money per minute. But are you adding value now to get you to that point where to seek your attention for an hour, they will have to book? And there is monetary value attached to it. Are you that valuable? Or even if you don't exist, this world does not miss you. We are not in church just to learn spiritual stuff only and for our head to swell. That's why people misbehave. They don't know the application of the scriptures in the workplace. So all they know is every junk they have acquired online. And so their head is bigger than their body. And then they start spitting out nonsense. Because there is no true application of that which they thought that they have learned. Any gospel you can apply, throw it away, thrash it. The gospel is not for theory, it's for practical. I'll show you some scriptures in the Hebrews, in Proverbs today. Amazing scriptures. So let's go quickly. I told you, number one, tithing. Number two, I said offerings. I said other kinds of givings. So under other kinds of givings and seed sowing, I said A, offerings. B, kingdom advancement giving. C, I said giving to your parents. And that was where I stopped last week, and I want to move quickly. Giving to your parents. We find an example in Genesis 27, verses 2 to 4, when Esau called his firstborn. The patriarch Isaac called his firstborn Esau and said, make me venison, the kind that I like to eat, so that I can eat it and my soul will bless you before I die. Because he was about to die. And you see, these patriarchs understood the power of the what they call the prophetic blessing or parental blessing. Parental blessing is prophetic. I want to beg you, let me go ahead of myself. You might not have received that from your parents, but please make sure you give it to your children. And who says you can't receive it from your parents even now, if you still have parents? I gave you an instruction last week. Only one person in the whole church got back to me. One person. I said, get home today. Do something for your parents, right? Buy something, buy a gift, buy wine, buy fruit, buy whatever you can buy. If you don't have money to buy anything, I said, write them. Do a write-up. Say something to them. How many of you did that? Let me see. Put your hands up. I want to look at you. Okay. Good. At least I have a few people who are listening to me. That's good. At least about 10% or 20%. A lady got back to me with the screenshot of what her father wrote. And the man said, I've never read this kind of piece before. The father was saying that to the daughter. Now, what do you think would follow? Blessing. Parental blessing. Never despise your parents. They might not have gone to school, but they sent you to school for you to fill up their deficiency. So that what they lack in their generation, you may have in your generation. Many of them have denied themselves of pleasure, of convenience, just to make you a better person. Never become that better person and deride them. There are girls on campuses who hide from their parents because they say they are not presentable. There are ladies who call their mother, their grandmother, or their house help. There are guys who do that also. Never be part of that bandwagon. Your parents may not be trendy. Celebrate them. It's not always about money. What about the kind words? Where has your kindness gone to? How about courtesy? How about talking to them with respect and honor? I was in the house of one former member of this church, and the way he spoke to his father at the gate of their house, I was there. And the father didn't even see anything wrong. I said, no, sir. And hey, young man, You don't ever in your life talk to your father this way again, at least not in my presence. And from that day, I became his enemy. Same boy, I scolded for disobeying his mother. Mother was downstairs. He was upstairs. Mother called him and said, go and help me pick some stuff and take it to the junction. And he said, no, I'm busy. I'm sorry. The mother that gave you free accommodation for 9 months, who could have aborted you and never allowed you to see the light of the day? I don't understand your Christianity. I don't care how many hours you speak in tongues. Look, this pastor cannot be scammed again. I don't care. Pastor, you know, let's do prayer charge, 15 hours, 19 hours. I read my Bible. I know the Holy Spirit. Amen? You were not there when I gave my life to him. So you are not the one to tutor me. I don't care about your rascality of praying for 24 hours a day. And you step out of the prayer room to disobey your parents. It doesn't work. It is not the balanced gospel. And your prayer is showmanship. There are some kind of prayer you pray because you want people to know you are praying. And you want them to respect you as a prayer giant. We pray. We talk to God. Beleo, where are your prayer fruits? If you are truly praying, I should be seeing results in your life. Anna prayed and we saw results. 1 Samuel 1:27. Anna said, for this child I prayed. What have you prayed for? Show me your prayer results. Some people, you commit something in their hand, the thing dies. And you say you are praying. Where's your prayer result? Things die in your hands. When Samson prayed, we saw results. He prayed and a stream came forth to give him water. And he named that stream En-Hakkore. It is in Lehi till this day. In Lehi. The place is called En-Hakkore, meaning the stream of him that prayed. Anna said, for this child, I prayed. Have you ever prayed for anything? Do you have any prayer result in your life? You pray. You disobey your parents. You pray. You dishonor them. You dishonor your pastor. If you hear the things that some people say about me, you will faint. You will rise up. You'll faint again. You rise. You'll faint again. If someone can look at me and say, everything I preach from this pulpit is sand. Yepe. That I'm feeding the people with sand. And these are the same people who have partaken of the same grace of this house. I said, my God will answer them. I don't have their time. They are distractors. And I've seen them from generation to generation. So I'm not surprised. If they still have some seed here, I know. I'm not surprised. Dishonor can never get you to be promoted. You have only sown forward. You will reap it in your future. Honor will pave the way for you. You might not have the result today, but you will reap it in the future because you have sown forward. Jacob was very smart. The mother, Rebecca, called him and said, look, guy, your father is going to die, but he needs to release the blessing. So mother made the venison. Jacob served him. He took it. He said, how come, my son, you found it so quickly? And Jacob said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. And Isaac believed Jacob because Isaac knew God as a God of supernatural acceleration. That whatever you are looking for, God can make that thing look for you. Are you with me, church? That God can collapse time in your favor. He said, the Lord your God brought it to me. I pray for someone today. That which you are looking for, God will bring to you. Lord, answer the amen of the 5 people in church this morning. Amen. Jacob took that blessing and grew with it. A time came that Jacob himself became an old man and he was about to die. But before that time, he got to the point of being about to die. There was an incident in his life. He was told one day that he had lost his favorite son, Joseph. His brothers conspired against him and they used his coat of many colors. They stained it with blood. They stained it with the blood of an animal and they brought it to their father and said to their father, oh, we were in the field. An animal came and killed Joseph. He killed Joseph. Ah! Jacob went into grief mode. And you need to be careful when you are grieving. Let's be careful. I know what it means to lose loved ones. I have lost loved ones. But be careful the way you grieve. This may be helpful to somebody. I so grieved my mother, I almost lost my life. And I know it. The Bible says to not sorrow like them that have no hope. After this fellowship here, there's another fellowship in heaven. When we lose loved ones, we will see them again. It's only a matter of time and faith. We will still reunite. He's the God of the family in heaven and earth, according to Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There is still going to be a family reunion. It's only a matter of time and faith. Jacob entered into grief mode and he uttered words. He uttered very powerful words, negative words that impacted on him much later in life. So much so that when he came and stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" He mentioned his age and he said that my years are nothing compared to the years of my fathers, Isaac and Abraham. Somehow with his utterance, he cut short his years. Abraham died at 175. Isaac died at 180. Jacob went home at 147. Because of the grief of the news of Joseph's death, which was a fake news. Be careful also how you handle fake news. In the era of social media, search all things before you write a nasty letter to your VC. I know what you are doing in this university. You are doing nonsense. You are increasing our tuition fee. You are a goat. You are not a good man. Hey! Before you abuse your helper. This is a generation that lacks respect. You can abuse anybody. You don't care. That's why I don't pretty much like some of those your social media stuff, because they just abuse people anyhow. This is a generation that curses their father. Don't be part of them. You are God's children. The curse is flying everywhere. You can live within the cocoon of the blessing. May the blessing of the Lord preserve you in this generation. There is too much hate on social media. So Jacob assumed that Joseph had died. He carried that grief with him because he was the son of his old age. But one day, when there was a famine in the land of Canaan and all over the world, Jacob, being a man that God had blessed, had money. He was not a poor man. He gave money to his son, said, "Go and buy food in Egypt." We have heard that there is food in Egypt. Egypt was world power at the time, just like what America is today. America sneezes, the whole world shivers. That's the way it was back in the day. We have heard that there is food in Egypt. Take money, go there, and buy food so that you may preserve our lives so that we don't die of this lack and poverty. They went the first time. They brought food. They brought everything and discovered that their monies were still in their bags. They say, "Ha, who did this? We paid. How come our money is here?" They went again the second time. Their father now doubled the money. For you to know that even in famine, Jacob was a rich man. My God, do you understand that? The whole world was in famine. He had money to buy food. One, he had double money to buy food. Long story short, it was their brother that they sold, who was the prime minister of Egypt at the time. In Genesis 47, he revealed himself to them. In verse 8, he said to them, he said, "God has made me three things. One, a father to Pharaoh. Two, a ruler in all his house. Three, a ruler throughout the land, a lord of his house, and then a ruler of the throughout the land of Egypt." He said, "Go and tell my father." He gave them money. He gave Benjamin five times what he gave them, five number of grace. Benjamin was his only blood brother. There were 12 of them, but Benjamin was his only blood brother. Benjamin was the one being given birth to when their mother, Rachel, died a little way from Ephrath. And as she was dying and she was in labor, she named the child Benoni. Benoni, meaning a son of sorrow. It was Jacob that said, no, your confession will determine your possession. Don't call that boy son of sorrow. Call him Benjamin. Give him a better name. That was the only brother that Joseph had. The day he revealed himself to them, they all wept. They didn't know him anymore. They could not have known him. He was 13 when they sold him. No beards, nothing. Flabby muscles. Just one teenager who just became a teenager. Sold him as a little boy. He didn't have big muscles. He didn't have all the chest. He was in his master's house, Potiphar. That was where he was growing. Turned out to be a handsome guy. And one day, the master's wife said, ah, who is this fine boy? Who is in the garden? A little fine boy. Can I come and see him? And he said, no. From there, prison straight. And he was in that prison, some Bible scholars have said, for about 13 years. So by the time he came out and became a prime minister, he was 30. And there were 7 years of abundance throughout Egypt at the time. 30 plus 7 will give you 37. But they did not come until the second year of the 7 years of famine that would follow. So 2 plus 7 would be 9. So it must have been about 39 when they saw him. If you saw somebody last when they were 13, when they are 39, you can never, you will most likely not be able to recognize them. And don't forget that in their own culture, they had beards. It's not like some of us that are just clean-shaved. Baby face, the same face. I had in primary school, secondary school, everywhere. People can say, ah, this is the guy. But some people, the way they transform, I have seen people transform. Say, ah, is this you? It's me. Oh. But for someone like me, they recognize me very easily. It's a special grace, amen? He was big. He was huge. This was the prime minister of Egypt. He was world power. He was world power. He's not like some idiot calling himself, saying that he has powers. He's going to release his powers. He went to London. Not one miracle was done. He sang a song about, I have powers. Who sings about having, use your powers? Nothing. Joseph didn't sing about powers. He was power himself. He stood tall in the midst of his brethren. Big chest, biceps, triceps, everything. Six packs, long chain, gold, not golden, gold, the raw gold. Joseph was smelling wealth. The best of perfumes in Egypt. Handsome guy from top to bottom. Looking good. He was so looking good in his teenage years. Mama Potiphar was tripping for him. How much more now? He's got money. He's got wealth. He's got a house. He lives in a palace. Drives the best of cars. Wait, Mrs. Potiphar. You have not seen the guy emerge. Now he had a baritone in addition to what he had. You now think the brothers would know him? They were coming from Canaan. There was famine in Canaan. Their father had money, not they, their father. It's a different thing. You have money, my father has money. I don't respect you. Your parents have money. Me, I'm a first mover. Amen. They couldn't recognize him. But he knew them. He saw Benjamin, his brother. He saw Reuben, the firstborn. The one that actually said they should sell him because the other guys were going to kill him. Trust Levi and Simeon. Wicked guys. Their anger was caused by their father. They were so angry. He saw all of them. And he could recognize them. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. And they came and they bowed. To the Egyptians, he was speaking Egyptian language. But when he couldn't contain himself anymore, he commanded everybody to get out. And then he said, let me talk to my brothers. I want to talk to these people. Before he could talk, Joseph was an emotional guy. And I think I share part of his emotions. The Bible says he wept out loud that the entire household of Pharaoh had. They were out from his sitting room, but they could hear from the front porch the cry of their master. And the 11 brothers were confused. Why is this big man crying? And they dared not look him in the face. They put down their head. I'm sure they must have said, Atigbe Loni, we have carried today. Atigbe. for the prime minister to be crying. We came to you for help. You are crying. Sir, let us join you in the cry. We will cry with you. They must have been crying to me. We are sorry for ourselves. Today, they didn't know. He was looking at them. He remembered the pain. He remembered the betrayal. He remembered how they yanked him off and put him on that cart that was carrying him to Egypt. He kutu. And he looked back and they didn't say bye. And he looked at them like, they are taking me away. They are taking me away. Reuben just said, Dum. He remembered that last look they gave him as his eyes locked with theirs. But here am I today. You meant it for evil, but the Lord turned it around for my good. And he had to preach to them. When he told them, he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them. He said, I am Joseph. He said, come back. He said, I am the Joseph whom you sold. In case you know another Joseph. They bowed. And he talked and talked. They could not talk until verse 15. They were speechless. I am Joseph, your brother. And he hugged one after the other. And he wept on their neck. And they wept in return. Then he said to them, this is the second year of the famine. There are 5 more grievous years. But so that you don't die. Now, listen. Let me preach to you. Don't enjoy yourselves because you sold me. He said, you sold me, but God sent me. Can I have an amen to that? He said, you sold me. You know, till today, people still sell us. They sell us. You have friends who sell you. Friends who should be speaking for you when you are not there, but they are the ones speaking against you behind you. Sometimes they are just quiet, and silence could also mean that they are complicit. Somebody's tearing you into pieces and you have a friend who should say, no, I know how you are. Everything he can do. This one, he won't do it. They say, who knows? Who knows? Only God knows what everybody is doing. He said, you sold me, but God sent me. I share in this story. You sold me, but God sent me. Every evil people do to me, God always uses it and he turns it around for my good. Every time. Every time. And you share in this also. Because according to Romans 8:28, it says we know something. We don't know everything. But we do know that all things, including the betrayal, work together for good to them that love God and who have been called according to his purpose. So it's working together for your good. Can I have an amen? Amen. Long story short, Joseph said, go to my father, tell him, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. My God, I prayed this prayer sometime ago in the expression house. I want to pray it again today. May God make you fathers to Pharaohs. Amen. A Pharaoh represents authority, represents an institution. But then, the Pharaoh will consult you for wisdom. Institutions will approach you for your expertise. In the mighty name of Jesus. He said, and he has made me a lord over his house. God has made me a father to Pharaoh and the lord over to his house and ruler in all of the land of Egypt. Anywhere I talk, they listen. It will shock you that Joseph was not a citizen of Egypt. He wasn't born there. But he was born to rule. Come on. Where you are right now is not where God is taking you. There is a journey ahead of you. There is a position. There is a place for you. And you will get there. But please stay on course. Along the line, in your way to your destination, there will be sexual temptations. There will be monetary temptations. There will be temptations to lie. There'll be temptations to compromise. Please stay on course. When pressure comes on you, what we call temptation is pressure. What is pressure? They just mount pressure. Pressure, they press you. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Hey, may you receive the strength of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if Joseph had compromised once with Mrs. Potiphar. See how many lives would have been wasted during the famine, because the famine will still come. Are you with me? And his father and his entire household would have perished. He himself would have perished in the famine, because the famine affected Egypt. In spite of the fact that Joseph was in Egypt, the famine affected Egypt. The Bible says at a point, I think Genesis 48 or so, money failed in the land. They came to Joseph. They said, look, you know it out that all our money is spent. We need food. Joseph said, give me your cattle. Give me your land. He bought all the cattle. He bought all the land. Everything for Pharaoh. The last time they came, no, he bought cattle first. The last time they came, they said, now, we have given you all our cattle. All our money is gone. There's nothing to give you again. Buy us. Buy us. Buy us for food. Buy us. Give us food. Don't let us die. The famine was that grievous. But he could not, how do I buy all of you? Oh yeah, Shebi, you have land. He said, yes. He bought up their land for Pharaoh. So he now gave them seed. They planted it, and then the fifth portion went to Pharaoh. And it's still the practice in Egypt till today. May God give you strategic wisdom. Wisdom for strategic solutions in the name of Jesus. I don't care what your field may be, but may God endow you with that wisdom in the name of Jesus. Joseph was a solution provider. Be a solution provider. Don't be a problematic fellow. Money comes to solution providers. Don't just be speaking in tongues. Hear what God is saying. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 said, call upon me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let him show you. Allow him. After you have spoken in tongues, listen for the voice of the Holy Ghost. Let him show you what to do. Joseph sent 10 she-asses, 10 oxen loaded with goods for his father. He sent bread, he sent meat, he sent juice, he sent honey, he sent wine. To go and bring his father from Canaan. I thought when you want to go and bring father from Canaan, you don't need to be sending all those kind of stuff. Just send enough vehicles to bring the father, to bring the brothers' wives, and their kids, about 70 souls. Just bring all of them. And then they will come back to Egypt, they will go to Goshen, and they'll be living well. No, not Joseph. Joseph loaded them with food as if they were still going to live in Canaan. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, when they came to Jacob, and they told him, father, your son is alive, Joseph. He didn't believe them. His heart fainted because he didn't believe them. Then they brought him and said, daddy, come. Come and see the car he sent. There was a special car. He said, use this one to carry my father. He sent wagons. Back in the day, wagons represent cars today. If those were the days of the Bentleys, he would have sent a Rolls Royce or a Bentley to take his father. At Aston Martin, or at least a Mercedes-Benz to bring his father. He sent wagons. He went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, come on, a special car for your father. Give them the best of the land. My goodness. When Jacob stepped out of the house and saw the car, the Bible says his spirit revived. This is what my son sent me. I pray for you. You will do well in the lifetime of your parents. And your children will do well in your lifetime. His spirit revived. There is no parent whose children are doing well that will not be happy, especially when they take care of their parents. Dad, I don't like this phone. Ah, come on. Every year you change your father's phone. God so blesses you every year, you change this car. That's it. Look, don't change my car again. The last one you gave me, I didn't even know how to drive it well. Daddy, don't worry, I'll get you a driver. Ah, this boy, don't be wasting money. No, daddy, you deserve it. You take care of your mom. May they live longer. And for those of us who have lost them, those who are parental figures in our life, may they live long. Amen. May you build your parents' houses. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. My daddy has built a house. You can build him a better one. Jacob left Canaan with all the children. They went back. They went to Egypt. He said, let me see Joseph before I die. When he came to Canaan, it was 130 years. So the remaining 17 years of his life, he spent in prosperity and in pleasure. He was already a prosperous man in Canaan, but now in prosperity and in pleasure. This one, he didn't have to think about his business. Levi! Simeon, you see, you are stealing my money. No wonder. I'm taking you to Genesis 49. Jacob now came to a point when he was going to die. In verse 1, he sent for all his children. He said, come, ye sons of Israel, let me show you the things that will befall you in the last days. And he released the power of the prophetic blessing. It was the judgment seat of Jacob. As his sons came, he was on his dying bed or deathbed. He sat up. He leaned on his staff. An old man whose voice was crooked. He was about to die. His eyes were a little dim at this time. But he looked through and there was a piercing into the heart of Reuben, his first son. As he said, Reuben, you are my first son. The doing of my strength. The beginning of excellency. And Reuben was feeling cool. Yeah, that's me, daddy. I'm your firstborn. Do it. Do it, man. Say it. Decree the blessing. He was shattered to pieces with the next set of words that came out from the mouth of the patriarch, who said, unstable as waters, thou shalt not excel. Ah! Ekere! My father, my father! He said, you went up to my couch and defiled it. He looked at the remaining sons who probably didn't know about that sin. He looked at them and said, he went up to my bed and defiled it. He had committed this sin several years ago. Eru Olorun ba mi. Eru Olorun ba mi o. Ohun to ba ti pinu lokan re. Ko se ni to le da duro. Let there be no unrepented sin in your life. I don't care who is confusing you in your eye. Let there be no unrepented sin in your life. I don't care who is confusing you from Lagos. Let there be no unrepented sin in your life. None. Yes, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. In Christ, as long as you remain in Christ. Christ preached repentance. Paul preached repentance. All the apostles preached repentance. Nigerians are preaching no need for repentance. They must have written their own Bible. They are going to another heaven. It will take them to their own heaven. Had Reuben known that his father would visit that sin, he would have gone to his father before that day to say, Father, I've sinned against you. He would have repented. He went to sleep with Bilhah. Bilhah was one of the maids of the father, one of the omodos that became a wife. Because back in the day, it was allowed. A A wife is going to marry, the family will send maids along with her to be helping her in the house, the room, and in everything. So as the wife was giving birth, maids were also giving birth. But they dare not disrespect their mistress. One day, Reuben came back from football field. Konji catch him. He said, "Ha! Nobody's at home. Okpeo, that babe. I'm the firstborn of the house. I'm the firstborn of my father. Whatever my father has, I have. Whatever my father has access to, I have access to. I'm a proper child." He had forgotten that. Kinjeti Baba Tomoko Malala. Oh my God. That's speaking in tongues. It does not belong to the father, belong to the son without a boundary. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're my son, I love you, but there are certain things you are not permitted to do. There are certain things you don't have access to. And that's why we must understand. See, there is a place for daddy when we're worshiping God. There's a place for the Almighty God, Father. When he comes as a father, you bow on your face, you cry, you weep, you roll on the floor. It's not the time to say, "Oh, it's my daddy." There's a time for that, but it's a time for father. It's called boundary, healthy boundaries. Can I have an amen to that? He looked everywhere, nobody was around. How Jacob got to know? I don't know. That man was a spirit-led man. Behold, I found Jacob. I called him. I led him in the wild, howling wilderness. And I fed him. God spoke that about Jacob. You go to sleep with the wife of a spiritual man, you are dead. There are some women, you know, just give them distance. So don't take time to look what is in between their legs because they open the laps. Don't look there. Close your eyes and go away. You remember the children of Noah. Noah drank wine. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Japheth saw. He said, "Hey, Chineke mebere wo baba eweri." All right. He went to call his brothers. Those ones said no. They took a wrapper. They spread it. They walked. They put their gear in reverse. We must never see the nakedness of our father. And they covered him. Who told Noah when he woke up that his last son saw his nakedness? Don't joke with spiritual men. They may not be there when you are talking about them, but they are hearing. And they are seeing. So when others come with proofs, it's only a confirmation. Who told Noah? Noah got up. Till today, he placed a curse on the last born to be serving the first and the second. And some historians have told us that that last born was the father of Africa. The black nation. He said they'll be serving the white. Some people have said, but the good thing is we have been redeemed in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory! There is neither Jew nor Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So we are not less. We are not inferior to Americans or British people. Amen? Thank God for Jesus. Somebody say, "Thank God for Jesus." Otherwise, he gave it to Reuben. Said, "They went up to my couch. He did kerewa with my maid." Reuben got up. He enjoyed himself thoroughly. Slapped the bum bum of the woman. I said, "Come on, yeah, babe. Another time. We'll see you again." I said, "Hey, be careful, though. If your father catches you now, it's not me. Oh. Mm. You know, I tie my wrapper there, and she tied wrapper around her chest. And all these women that are tying wrapper, may the Lord have mercy on them." But Reuben did not know that the day of reckoning was coming. That day of reckoning was too late to repent. Those words, I'm a student of history. I'm still studying the Jewish nation. Those words still hold sway in the life of the tribe from Reuben till today. Unstable as waters. He said, "You will never excel." And immediately he finished that, he went on to the next son. So no room for repentance. Do everything not to secure the curse of your parents. Amen? Can I have an amen?
No, Pastor, you don't understand.
That didn't send me to school. It didn't pay for my school fees. I worked my ass out to pay my tuition fees. What kind of father is he? He's a useless man. He came back to you and you're a useless child. I know what he did is bad. I understand. But it's not in your place to be the Lord and the judge over him. Forgive him. Remove the curse from your own generation. Are you with me? Because if you continue in that rebellion, it will move on to the next generation. He gave it to them one by one until it got to Joseph. Oh, when it got to Joseph, go to Genesis 49. Let's read the blessing of Joseph from verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Media, as I wrap up. Okay, that's 10. That's the scepter from Judah. Go to the next one, 11. No, go to the 12th one. Hallelujah. 12th. Go to 13. Go to 14. Go to 15. He was giving it to them one by one. Go to 16. Go to 17. Go to 18. Go to 19. Go to 20. Go to 21. Go to 22. Joseph. When it got to Joseph, the story changed. Joseph is a fruitful bough. This guy is fruitful. I have eaten of his fruit. May your parents eat of your fruit. He said, even a fruitful bough by a well. When you are a plant by a well, it means you are well watered and nourished. You will never lack resources. Lord, two people said amen. Amen. Whose branches run over the wall. Do you know what that means? Your business will go beyond territories, beyond borders, beyond limitations. There are no limits over your destiny. Anything stands as a limitation, you will go over it. People stand against you, you will use them as stepping stones. In the mighty name of Jesus, they may criticize you, but God will advertise you. I said they may criticize you, but God will advertise you. God will use their criticism for your advertisement. In the mighty name of Jesus, he said the archers have sorely. Not small, sorely, not minimally, sorely, not sweetly, bitterly grieved him and shot at him. They shot arrows at Joseph and hated him. People hate us for no reason sometimes, but it's their business. God will elevate you above your haters. But his bow abode in strength. The arms, the biceps of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Not by the gym, by the mighty hands of the God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Next verse. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, say amen. Amen. And by the Almighty, who shall bless thee, say amen. Amen. Bless thee with what? With the blessings of heaven above, say amen. Amen. Blessings of the deep that lieth under, say amen. Diamond is under, gold is under, tin, iron ore, they are all under. God will bless you with the resources underneath the earth. The blessings of the breast and the womb. This talks about motherly blessing. May it come upon you in the name of Jesus. Even if you have lost your mom, the Holy Ghost says, I'm also your mom. I'm your dad, I'm your mom. So you still have access to the blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed over the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph. Oh, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. End of story. After that, he said something little about Benjamin. And if you go to the last verse, he gathered up his legs as an old man. He put his legs on the bed and yielded the ghost. It was the day of laughter for some people. For some people, depending on their work, that represents the judgment seat of Christ. When every man shall stand to take account of what you have done in the flesh. It's my spirit that committed it. It's my flesh that committed, not my spirit. You'll give account of what you did in your flesh, good or bad. I thought we were going to talk about financial dominion, but see what we're talking about. But what does this tell you? Sexual purity is connected to financial dominion. Some of you, God knows, if he gives you 1 million, you will call your father by his first name. You will misbehave. One of my friends, back in the day, whenever I finish eating, he said, now I feel like slapping the president just for eating food. If God now gives you 1 million, what will happen? Some is 10 million. You will buy ticket, first class ticket for yourself and for your girlfriend. Meet me in Dubai. Send it. You've been toasting. She's not listening. You send that ticket. You send that BTA, $1,000. Meet me in Dubai. You have the ticket. You have the BTA. Meet me in Dubai. You do the do because there is money. And God is looking at our heart. Honestly, I will not do it. Ah, if it's me, ah, God, just try me. The little he has given you, how faithful have you been with it? You don't know that almost every day is like a test. They give you the microphone. What have you done with it? You have abused the people that gave you. God said, if we now make this one general overseer, it will destroy the world. They give you little title, it gets into your head. Little resources. 5 girls in your unit, in your ministry, you are sleeping with them. Ora, Anna, everywhere, threesome, twosome, foursome. Oh, is he a gifted man? I know a man that is gifted. But will he ever grow? No, he won't. Sleeping with 2 girls at the same time. When he talks like this, he's a motivational speaker. They know the Bible. Can God trust you with women? Can God trust you with power? Can God trust you with wealth? Let me wrap up. Because I said today I will wrap up. The next giving you should do after your parents is to your pastor. And I didn't mean to me. I mean to your pastor. I may not be your pastor. The fact that you come to this church does not mean I'm your pastor. It's not everybody that comes here. I don't deceive myself. It's not everybody that comes here that I'm their pastor. So, but give to your pastor. And it's not only for here, because you still grow beyond here. Adult church, outside the country, or another state. Always, wherever you are, please support your pastor. What will be my joy is that the day you support your pastor calls and say, who taught you this thing? Say, ah, one pastor taught me in Ibadan. Then, when I was in school, that would be a good one. It would be a good recommendation. Amen? And most of you are not working now, so I'm not asking you to give me stuff. I'm teaching you this for today and for the days to come. Pastors are the most misunderstood species in the world. Reverend George was going to be assassinated. They took him, armed men in Ilorin, drove him to one forest. Everybody had given up. When they told the commissioner of police in Ilorin, in Kwara State, he said, forget it. With the manner in which he was captured, he said, forget it. As he was in the car, he was quoting scriptures. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be? When they came to his house, armed men, They told him, cooperate with us or no life is safe here. We'll kill everybody. And because he didn't want his wife and children to die, he followed them. Like a sheep captured, led to the slaughter. And then scriptures began to pop out. Scriptures began to pop out. Scriptures, because what's in you will come out in the day of trouble. You can't squeeze toothpaste and tomato puree will come out. And you can't squeeze tomato puree and then toothpaste will come out. Are you with me, church? If you squeeze an empty car, if you squeeze it, will juice, orange juice come out of the car? What will come out of the car? Petrol. And maybe some water and oil. When life puts pressure on you, what's on your inside will come out. Ah, no, Pastor, I didn't mean it, though. When I said it, I didn't mean it. No, you meant it. They forced me to say, no, what was on your inside came out. When he was quoting and quoting and quoting scriptures and quoting, they said, one of them now said, the leader of the gang, he said, look at you, this man, what do you do? They didn't even know him. He said, I'm a minister of religion. He said, what does that mean? I'm a pastor. He said, really? He said, my father told me this was an assassin. An assassin had a father. He said, my father told me when I was growing up that pastors are the most misunderstood species in the world. He said, they are good people, but people misunderstand them and judge them for that. If you hear what some people have judged me for in this church, I preached a message last Sunday. I was told that somebody was angry that I was directing my message to her in this church last Sunday. Those of you that came to church last Sunday, were you blessed? Yes, sir. Did the message bless you? Yes, somebody said I was talking to her. I'm still waiting for them to come. Because Emega muti boro, muti le, etijaki yi, muti yi. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting for as many as want to come. Plus family members. And they will hear from me. The leader of the gang said to the gangsters, he said, look, we can't continue with this work. They said, no, we have been paid. We have to finish him. He said, no. I said, we can't do this. Turn back. We cannot. This man's the pastor. Can't you hear him? Scripture upon scripture. Scripture upon scripture. Scriptures. Imagine if you had to say, oh, they would have finished him. Scripture upon scripture. They released him and they let him go. When he got back home, there was commotion because people thought they'll be looking for his dead body somewhere. Reverend George Adeboye is still the senior pastor of Rema Chapel International Church, still today, to the glory of God. Are you with me, church? Give to your pastor. I didn't say Pastor Fred, your pastor. I'll give you scriptures for that. And then I'll go to the last one. Write down, if you are writing, 1 Corinthians 4:15, where Paul introduced himself as their father because he gave birth to them through the gospel. 2 Corinthians 6:11 to 13, where he told the Corinthians to be enlarged. Be enlarged. There must be a fair exchange. Galatians 6:6, when you are taught in the word of God, communicate in all good things to him that teaches you. You should learn to give. Don't be the horse of Union Bank. The horse of Union Bank. Akagom. Akagom. Don't be an akagom. Be an akanchawa. Philippians 4:15 to 19. Philippians 4:15 to 19. We only know verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The journey started from verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent unto me once and again for my necessity. He said, not because I desire gifts, but I desire fruit that may abound to your spiritual account. But I have all. And abound. I am full. Paul said, I'm full. Thank you. He wrote this letter to his partners. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. They gave it to Paul. Paul said it was well pleasing to God. When you give good gifts to your pastor, you have given it to God. When you abuse him, you have abused God, the God that called him. It's true. Verse 19. This was now where he swore a blessing on them. Like this. Mwah. But my God. He didn't say your God. He didn't say our God. My God. My God shall supply. Anybody ready to receive this morning? All your need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody shout amen. The last giving to do. Give to the poor and less privileged. Proverbs 19:17. He that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord shall give back to him that which he has lent. He that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given him will he repay him again. When you give to the poor, you are giving a loan to God. Can you imagine giving a loan to God? And God will repay you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Psalm 41 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Say amen. Amen. Verse 2. For considering the poor, the Lord will preserve him. One person said amen. Amen. And the Lord will keep him alive. Ah, oh my. I got to the valley of the shadow of death last year. But God kept me alive. I said to God, even if it's only for the sake of the lives attached to mine, keep me alive. If I go down now, there are people that will go down. Don't let them go down. Mercy, Lord. It will keep him. You can't keep yourself. He said, but the Lord will keep you alive. Amen. And he shall be blessed. He won't be a beggar. He shall be blessed upon the earth. Amen. Lord, three people said amen. Amen. And thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. We all have enemies. I pray for you. Expression house. God will not deliver you to their will. Some people, they just wish that they will wake up and see your picture on social media and see rip. But guess what they will see? Your picture and congratulations. In this season, in the mighty name of Jesus, people will congratulate you. Why all this? The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. I was on the bed of languishing. I knew what it meant. I will be rubbing my two legs against each other like this, begging for sleep to come. The bed of languishing. I saw life from another perspective. I saw those who were supposed to be close to me, who kept a distance. And I saw those who chose to come close. There are certain experiences in life that you need in a lifetime to help your life to be balanced. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. So he may be sick, but God will come down and make his bed in his sickness. You know what that means? Have you ever made a bed with someone lying on it before? No, you need to tell them to get up. Amen. God will get you up, make your bed, and you are not going to lie down in sickness again. God will bring healing. Why would he do this? Because of verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. For considering, I have this 100,000, Lord. I know I have certain needs. I've paid my tithe. I've been a blessing to my parents. But I know I just shouldn't consume all of these on myself. A moment, let me think. Is anybody in my ministry in church that might just need 5,000 right now? That 5,000 could make a difference in somebody's life. It could just be the answer to somebody's prayer. 2,000, sir, is not much, but it can be the answer to somebody's prayer. Somebody's telling God, God, 2K, urgent. I pray you. I know they beg. Pastor Fred said, don't beg. Don't say God that beg. God, don't beg God. I pray thee. Consider the poor. Expression house. Don't live a selfish life. Consider others. Consider the poor. You want to waste some food in your house? It's not spoiled. Consider. You have some clothes you want to throw away because I just didn't like them. And they're still good. Consider the poor. Consider. You're driving an empty car. Only you yourself and yourself. Consider the poor. I know Nigeria is tough. You don't want to give a ride to somebody who will stick a gun in your head. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Be led. But consider the poor. There was a time we didn't have a car in my family. My wife was pregnant. We were leaving expression house service late in the evening. Sunday evening. Service then was 3 to 6 p.m. Sometimes as led by the Spirit, 7 p.m. We're leaving Nakobo. I remember one day in the rain. Heavily pregnant woman. Husband in suit. Heavily drenched. No car. And somebody stopped to give us a ride. I have testimonies of God coming through at near shame stages in my life. The day food finished, gas finished, even matches finished. Terrible. What a condition to be. That's the time that our toothpaste will finish. Now, I don't allow it to finish again because I've learned from what I suffered. I buy 10 at a go now, 8 at a go. I don't buy one. I buy 10. I'm not Niger made, foreign, imported. I buy 10 at a go. When I go abroad, 25 at a go. You think I want to go and sell it? No. I've been at a point where it finished. So I had to use salt. Is it good to laugh in the presence of the Lord? We are closing. Please consider the poor. Be a blessing. Some of you need to go home today. I'll give you another assignment. Go and look at the clothes you have not worn the last 6 months. And then look at the ones you have not worn the last 1 year. You don't need it. That's why you have not worn it. Give it out in Jesus' name. Yeah. Look at the shoes you have not worn. Kilo de. Ofelo tabatani. You enter some lady's room. Shoe. Back for kilo de. Be a blessing. I'm commanding you as my children in the Lord. Are you my children? Yes, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. Yes. You know, I can tell you from experience, every time you empty stuff out like that, God fills them again. Yes. With better ones, with newer ones, with the trendy ones gone. It don't trend. Amen. When you give self, the joy of giving, you don't feel me. And then the next Sunday, you now see the person now rocking it to their own church. They may not be a member of your church, but they are rocking it to their church. Say, wow, what I had abandoned. How do I make room for financial dominion? Two things. Now write 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 5. Then write these two things. Acquire skills. This is what we are doing next Sunday. Acquire skills. Number two, venture into a trade or craft. Acquire skills, professional or vocational or both. Acquire skills. Never be idle. Never be idle. Never, never, ever be idle. Never be idle. Never be idle. Proverbs 6, 6 to 11. Exodus 31, 2 to 4. Ephesians 4, 28. Paul the apostle made tents to meet his needs. Acts 20, 33 to 34. How did he do it? Acts 18, 1 to 3. Hebrews 6, 12. Hebrews 13, 7. If you are still writing, I've left you. Acquire skills. Professional or vocational or both. I know some of you are into professions. You can also acquire a vocational skill by the side. In Nigeria today, you should have about 10 streams of income. It is good for your health. This money is coming here, it's coming here. As the alerts are coming in, they are coming in, you'll be smiling. It's not only balanced diets that gives you sound health. There is also credit alert. Doctors will not tell you that. They won't tell you because they don't want you to know. It's called vitamin M.
He can make you smile in the midst of a funeral service. Where they are singing, and sorrow,
your phone just vibrates. There's a way my phone vibrates when alerts come. And then you check your account. 202XXXX996 has been credited. Oh my God. You just smile. Then they look at you. Why are you smiling? Lord, have mercy. Church, let's not just do the spiritual. Let's do the needful. Can I have an amen? Amen. Acquire a skill. This is the age of tech now. It is tech. Tech is selling now. They say, I don't care about tech. What's tech? Yeah. Everybody must do tech. Do tech. Oh. Passive income. Makes sense. Oh. I know you are a graduate of CLA. You are a graduate of theater art. You are a graduate of philosophy. You are a graduate of psychology. You are a graduate of law. Do tech. Oh. Add it. Let it join. UI UX is not bad. Cybersecurity is not bad. Business analysis is not bad. You see, I'm telling you because your pastor said, Sabi as they go. Sabi as they go. Number two, venture into a trade or craft. Rendering services or selling goods. Manufacture solutions. Curate something that will have a positive impact on people. Give God something to bless. Be a person of value. Value attracts money. See, when people come to me and say they don't have money, they're broke. I look at you and say, do you have value? You know, I mentioned it earlier. I will say it next Sunday. This is where we close. I'll give you one scripture. See, if you're a person of value, they will call you, hello, Paul, Alpha, please, can you do this, so, we need someone, and I think you can do it. Yes, I can. Because you have value. But you can't if there's no value. How do you add value? Acquire skills. Every skill you acquire is value added. Value added. Do you know that learning a foreign language is also of value? Learn French. Learn Spanish. Huh? Learn Portuguese. Portuguese and Spanish are close. Learn German if you can. A day will come. Somebody comes from a foreign country. They need an interpreter. They can't find anybody. Say, how many languages speak? Yoruba and English. You are boring. Can you speak in tongues also? But that tongue will not be needed that day. We need someone that can translate Spanish. Esperando, Efremento, Sacramento. Brigadi, Brigadi, Obrigado. Su casa es mi casa. Your house is my house. Oh, come on. Your pastor, I'm you easy. Don't go beyond that too. If you go deeper, I will speak in tongues. Learn something. We are laughing, but we are learning. Are you learning something? Learn something. Someday, it might just be French. Learn Hausa. You are adding value. Learn Igbo if you can. Learn Yoruba if you can. You are adding value. One day, you will go to your hometown. Somebody wants to defraud your uncle at home, or even your dad, and he's a Yoruba man. Your dad is speaking Igbo. He's speaking Yoruba. He's speaking English. You now say, Oga, Egberu melo leso pe fe takin to wa le. Nigba ta ti eru pe omo iya mi mo gbe gbo Yoruba. Ibadan mo ti lo school. So kile nso. Kile so fun dat mi leko. And maybe it cost your father in Yoruba. Orori e. Awon omo Igbo ajokuta ma mo mi. Magba, magba e. Igbo. Oga, I will do business with you. Magba e gan. And you laugh and say, ele magba won abi? Add value. Add value. The king will send for your value. People pay for value. Pastors' values are not appreciated. Rather, they are criticized. Pastor is preaching for too long. 1 hour plus. If you were to pay for my per minute, do you know how much money you guys are owing me? So add value. Are you with me, church? Let me give you only one scripture. Proverbs 24. Very interesting. Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. Come and take my iPad. I don't want to be tempted to preach again today. Proverbs, Ah, me there was many. Proverbs 24. You didn't get my scripture. Proverbs 24. 30 to 34. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty, according to one of our fathers in the faith, come as one that traveleth. Be a lejo today to buy a lejo. And thy want as an armed man. Want like an armed robber. Give it to me in NIV. I love the NIV rendition of this scripture. NIV. No. Go to verse 30. Let's read it together, everybody. I went, one, two, go. I went past the field of a sluggard. Past the vineyard of someone who, you know, gets sense. Person we no get sense. Pidgin Bible. I walk up past the field. The field of person we no get sense. Get some sense, so. What happened? I went past his field. I saw thorns had come up everywhere. Thorns. The ground was covered with weeds because he was sleeping at home. A sluggard will not get sense. Believing for urgent 20K. He left his field unattended. His shop is closed. He's on the prayer mountain Monday morning. Shop closed. Tuesday, prayer mountain. Shop closed. Wednesday, prayer mountain. Shop closed. Friday to Sunday, vigil. Shop closed. You not get sense. And the stone wall was in ruins. Next verse. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. Learn a lesson. Don't just be seeing things. Learn. What did I learn? I learned that a little sleep. Oh, I can't kill myself. Let me sleep small. Let me sleep small, Jerry. I can't come and go and die. I cannot come and go and kill myself. Me lewalo para me. I cannot come and go. Whoa, easy, oh. Soft life. I learned somebody. I want soft life. Eh? Soft life in this world. It's all right. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to rest. We almost take it easy now. No. Are you a little here now? Take it easy. You can write your project tomorrow. You can start the project tomorrow. You don't need to start today. Do today what you need to do today. Don't do tomorrow what you're supposed to do today. Can I have an amen? Read that course. Open the book. It's very voluminous. Start now. Read two chapters after service. Can I have an amen? A little folding of the hands to rest. Then what will happen? It has a consequence, sir. It has a consequence. I don't joke with my sleep, oh. I don't joke. Some people pride themselves in their sleep. Will it swear anywhere? Anywhere it catches me, I sleep. I can't keep myself. Do you know how many years you have slept out of your years already? Sleep in the night, sleep in the morning, you sleep on the bus, you sleep inside church. You sleep inside lecture. Lecturer is lecturing, you are sleeping. Your mates are learning, they are writing, they are taking notes, they are hearing beyond what the lecturer is saying. The only time you are active is on Twitter. Now X. Xing everybody. Hey! Is there poverty will come on you like a thief? A thief comes. Stealthily, stealthily. Oh man, your wallet, and your killer. Poverty is already inside the house. You just see that money is going down, going down, going down. You know, when you are spending money, it's always going. 1 million now. Go to Captain Cook after service. Spend 10,000. It remains 90,000. You cross the road. Say, I like the pie of Pie Express. Their express is a pie. I will cross the express to pie them in front of Chicken Republic. Say, nyem chicken pie there and top it with beef pie. They have fish pie now. Fish pie. You buy 3K. How much remaining? The next day, you spend money. The day after, you spend money. Day after, you spend money. One day, account 800K. Ah, I just spent 200K. It's not possible. This country is bad. This country. You just have money like this. The next day, money is gone. It's a lie. It's you. Poverty comes like a thief. And scarcity like an armed man. Yellow bad juicer. An armed man forces you to stay on the spot with a gun in your head. Scarcity. Do you know how many people are in scarcity today? And they think prayer is the way out. Father, give us your wisdom in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet, everybody. Thank you for the extra time. I think we should have this kind of teaching on a Saturday. What do you think? So I'm not done. Until you make it in this church, I will not leave you alone. And you have to make it. For your sake, please, do well. For the sake of your posterity, children that will come from your loins, please do well. For the sake of the kingdom of God, let us do well. Amen? Amen? There are children in villages that will never have access to education if you don't pay for them. Inside some of you now is an NGO to reach out to the less privileged. An NGO to reach out to the widowers. An NGO to reach out to the widows. An NGO to reach out to orphans. An NGO to reach out to brilliant students in public schools who cannot afford WAEC. Very brilliant, but nobody. They have to opt out to go and work for 2 years to save up money to come back and write WAEC when they would have forgotten trigonometry. See the cycle of frustration. I know what I'm talking about. Sakataya Labahaste Baradosteke de Bahaste. Father, we thank you for your word today. My only prayer, Lord, is that you breathe. Please, Lord, breathe on these words. Let your children hear these words again. For faith cometh not by hearing, but by hearing and hearing. So let them come. Let them come to the point of hearing it again. Let them hear from you, Holy Spirit. Let there be a change in our lives and our situations.